Hey, good evening. Welcome to HBCU iRadio Family Circle, where we discuss financial awareness and life issues. We are your hosts, James and Jeanette Sutton, owner of J Square Financial Services. And our co-hosts and regular contributors with us tonight are Tamara and Jazz, hosts of JT Ladies Lounge. We have Chef Ron and Pressure Paulin, hosts of Perspective with the Paulins. They're also the owners of One Bite Catering. And Precious is a gifted author and spoken word artist. And then we have some financial experts with us on the panel this evening. We have Tasha Jordan, CEO of the Ella Rose Group, and Kenyatta Mora, CEO of M2M Financial Group. And we also have Sabrina Hogue. I apologize. How you pronounce your last name, Sabrina? I want to get that right.
Huff.
Sabrina Huff. And she's the author of From Mama's House to College. And that's a great book, and she'll as she speaks in times, then she'll tell you a little bit about herself. And then tonight's host is none other than Kimberly Marshall. She's the queen of the Queen City and owner of the Queen City Insurance Group. So at this time, I'm going to turn the call over to Kimberly, Kim, the queen, so you can get to take over, queen. And welcome to the family circle.
Thanks a lot, James, for that introduction, and I'm very excited about this panel that we have tonight. A little bit about me. I am the founder and CEO of the Queen City Insurance Group, also known as the QC. I am the self-proclaimed queen of the Queen City by way of Cleveland, Ohio. So I'm originally from Ohio, go Buckeyes, yes, and living here out of Charlotte, North Carolina. At the Queen City Insurance Group, we're dedicated to helping seniors. That's really where our focus is. We really, for me personally, I recently lost my mom at 75, and so I try to treat all of my clients in the 50-over group like their family. They're either relatives or something. So we're very dedicated to that because I find that a lot of times, sometimes seniors are the target of scams and people trying to take advantage of them. So I'm dedicated to the senior market on the financial side, whether it's Medicare, you know, burial insurance, their retirement. That's really where our focus is. That doesn't mean that we don't help their families as well. So we help the younger folks too, but it's just the seniors that are near and dear to us. I'm a 58-year-old GMA. I got four grandkids, and I love to roller skate. So that's just a little bit about me. And I'm really excited about tonight's discussion. This is very a topic that's very near and dear to my heart. We're going to talk about fatherlessness, and particularly fatherlessness in the Black community. So I want to read you guys a few little stats about fatherlessness. You know, according to the National Fatherhood Initiative and the U.S. Census Bureau, out of 24 million children in America, one out of every three live in biological father-absent homes. Many of the social issues facing America can be traced back to children growing up without a father. Just look at these astonishing statistics. I'm going to read some to you. Fatherless children are 100 to 200% more likely to have emotional and behavior problems. A child who comes from a fatherless home is 68% more likely to use drugs or alcohol, more likely to become sexually active at an early age, and three times more likely to commit a violent crime. 63% of teenagers who attempt suicide live in fatherless homes. 71% of high school dropouts are from fatherless homes. 90% of all homeless and runaway children are from fatherless homes. I could go on and on and on. Those are just some of the basic statistics that are, and it's a whole bunch more that we could even talk about, but it's clear to me that there's a direct correlation between fatherlessness and some of the issues that we have, not only just in this country, but in the Black community, because fatherlessness or out-of-wedlock births in the United States or and in Black community is over 70%. So in my opinion, fatherlessness is the top issue, if not the most important issue in the Black community. We talk about so many other things that affect our community, like racism, criminal justice reform, poverty, urban decay, all of that. But all of these point back to fatherlessness. So in our community, I feel like women are encouraged to have fathers out of the home, especially through the welfare system. You know, we're given Section 8 welfare. We're given, you know, food stamps and all that stuff, all with at the expense of fathers in our home. So if these stats hold true, the black family is being affected at a very large, in a very large way by fatherlessness. So having said that, those stats, I'd love to open up the floor to discussion, and anybody who wants to chime in and just give some of their thoughts about what they think of fatherlessness. And I really would love to hear from some of the guys, too, because for us women, we can't really know what it's like not to be part of the family or to be away from the home and not being able to raise your children. So I'd love to hear from some of the guys as well on this particular topic. So I'm going to open the floor up for any comments. Anybody want to make some comments about what I just said?
Hello, Queen. How are you? This is Tamara.
I'm doing
fine.
Hey, Tamara.
I have a comment. Yes, I do. I was about to say a question, but it's really a comment. I know some people that have had fatherless, you know, not fathers in a home, but still have fathers in their life. So I guess to kind of understand more of the topic, when you say fatherless, you mean just overall not being there or just not in the home? Because sometimes it can affect even just a father can be there, but not in the home. It can still affect the child.
That's correct. Mainly what I'm talking about is not being in the home. Because sometimes, even though the father is involved in the child's life, which of course is better than not being involved at all, but
right.
I mean, but not being in the home still has a negative impact on children. So even and I give all credit to fathers who are still involved in their children's life, because sometimes that's just what it is. It couldn't be helped. It's not something they did on purpose. But unfortunately, you see a culture where we have women purposely having children out of wedlock and purposely leaving the father out and not involving the father. So I think that's one of the prevalent issues that I talk about a lot, and I think it's actually encouraged. Systemically,
okay.
It's encouraged. Yeah.
Yeah, okay, that's fine. Like I said, so I don't go off track. You know, I just wanted to make sure that you meant as far as just not being in the home. But even with that being said, I think it really can affect the black community. Like I said, I have two kids myself, and, you know, just growing up with kids that, you know, with people that didn't have fathers that was in the home, you know, it can either work out. And I don't know if this is safe. It could work out in a positive way. And I say that only because sometimes it makes the kids either weaker or stronger. You know what I'm saying? So sometimes one of those, some of the kids feel, you know, my father wasn't in a home, so they're going to grow up to be better fathers themselves. You know,
right.
Maybe try to make the relationship work with the mother, you know, regardless if you know, boyfriend, girlfriend living together or, you know, a marriage, you know. So sometimes sometimes they could turn out and, you know, it can affect them in a negative way. So, I think it kind of it depends on how the child is being taught, even though the father's not in the house. If you have the mom bashing the father, you know what I'm saying? Sometimes you have that. If the mother is speaking highly of the father, you know, it didn't work out with me and your dad or whatever the case, he's still there. So I think it really depends on how the parents co-parent to really keep that bond together so it don't affect the child.
Yeah, good points. I think you made some very good points, and all of that is very important. Did anybody else want to make some comments about
the topic? I have a comment. This is Chef Ron. I just want to comment on the mental side of it. I think my personal opinion is what causes the father or the dad to leave. I think it's all about their mindset. I think it is to a point where my personal opinion. I'm not no psychologist or psychiatrist, so I really don't know. I haven't been anybody's head, but just my experiences and looking at other people, I think men sometimes feel they're not good enough or they're not able to provide how they want to provide, so then the other thing for them to do is just escape, just to leave that situation. Mm. You have a lot of runners, and that comes from, I believe, that's just a lack of mental toughness. Like today, I coach a lot of these sports, and I see it in my young kids. Like, we have a game, and the other team scores first, my whole team, the whole everything goes down. I have to like prep them and pep them the rest of the game. Even if the team, even if we're way better, like we've been way better than some teams, but because, like I say, they lack that. We lack that mental toughness in our community because we're not really being taught how to love ourselves and have the right mindset, how to look at everything positive. Because you got in a single home, you got your mom complaining all the time that your daddy ain't doing nothing. And then the vice versa, you got your daddy complaining, your mom ain't doing nothing. So it's just a lot of confusion in our homes and our community. Like I said, I think it stems from a lack of mental toughness.
Those are some good points. Do you think the lack of mental toughness comes from not having a father? Would you relate that to?
I would say that, or just not having the right person that because I'm not gonna say that neither because I believe everybody, God is gonna, anything that you're missing, God is gonna replace it with something. Now it's up to you. It's up to you to grab on. To grab on to it. You understand what I'm saying? Like that story that,
yes,
that the boat, about the guy with the boat that sent three boats by. We got the heavenly ass guy. Why he said, I sent three boats. Almost like,
yes,
like that. You understand what I'm saying? So you may not have a father, but there's an uncle. There could be a guy from the church. There could be, you know, I grew up, I had my father in my home, but I also had a whole bunch of other men that were mentors. And I think we kind of, like my generation especially, we kind of dropped the ball. Like it's just the ball has been dropped, but I see it from both sides because I know a lot of people that had no dad. Like one of my favorite cousins, I'm related through him to his dad. His dad was never there for him, but he has three kids, beautiful family. He's been married. They don't have no issues. Like they're about to do their 15-year renewal in July. Then I have another friend that had no dad. He got five kids, has a wife. Everybody's doing good. They're taking care of their families and they're being good dads. So it's like it can go either way. You understand what I'm saying? But unfortunately, according to the numbers that you said earlier, a lot of it goes the other way instead of towards the positive way. And I think, like I said again, I think that's a part of the mental toughness. Men are running instead of standing tall, whether you're going to win, lose, or draw. You understand?
Right, right. Good stuff, Chef Ron. I think you made some really good points. And, of course, there's always exceptions to statistics. So, and that's the good thing is that you're always going to have the exceptions to the rule. Did anybody else want to make a comment about
I want to just say to piggyback off of what Rondell was saying, too. I was thinking about when you think about
who
father.
Is this talking?
Chef, this is Precious. I'm sorry.
Okay. Name is Precious.
Hey, what Chef Ron was saying is that I was thinking about just the titles, right? And so because we live our lives with titles and expectations, this is what disappoints us. Because I can tell you that a father to one person isn't a father to me. I can tell you that a mother to one person isn't a mother to somebody else because it's their experience, right? And we get so trapped in what the definition of who we think somebody could be, not that they would be quit, not that they, you know, apply for the job. Like, you don't apply to be a father. You just become a father, right? And so it doesn't mean that you have even measured up to meet those qualifications. And if you don't know, or if I think you should be a father due to what I think or what I see a father in somebody else's life, then I get stuck in where I am because you don't rise up. And so I think that the expectations that we have, not saying that it's wrong, we are to have expectations, but sometimes it gets us trapped when people don't show up as the same thing for everybody. And then we get this little insecurities, and then we feel less than, and we feel unworthy, and we start to, you know, make it about us when it's really just about who somebody couldn't be. It has nothing to do with who you are.
So are you saying that the title is a hindrance? So, like, having the title of father can be a hindrance to the person holding the title or to the person who has the expectation of the title?
I'm saying titles and roles in general. And so father, because we're talking about father is one, right? Because it's
right.
Like you got stuck because you think your father would have been there, but you could have had a father that beat you to death. You could have had a father who cussed you out. You could have had a father that molested you. You could have had a father that did some things that fathers don't do. And you got that. And so it's always about being from the advantage point than the disadvantage point because you don't know what was made, you know, what was created or what was supposed to be molded in you. He was used because you need men to bring kids forth. There's no way to do that. So you don't know that, that his purpose was something different, but because we expect him to be who he was, but maybe his purpose is just to bring you into the world so that you could be alive to do something different, that you that it was bigger than him, that we get caught in the pain of it and it stops us from showing up.
Got you. Got you. Some great points, Miss Precious. I love it. Did anybody else want to comment?
Hey, Queen.
Yes.
This is Sabrina. How are you?
Hey, Sabrina.
Hi. I just wanted to add real quick to the fact that so I grew up in a home, my father was not present, and my mother never discussed him. I mean, not his name, who he was, nothing. And so one day, when I mentioned it to one of my aunts, she gave me a picture of who she thought my father was. Now, to this very day, I believe she only wanted to put something there so I would have something to hold on to, okay? And so she shared this picture with me, told me this story about this man and who he was supposed to be. And my mother was deceased at this point. But I bring that up because I think that in our community, we have gotten so numb to the presence of fathers. I think to a certain degree, especially my generation, and Queen, I'm 8 years younger than you. You said you're 58, so I'm 50. And I think in our generation, we numbed ourselves, or families were numbed to the presence of a father. And so now, as we fast forward, this is really, I honestly believe that fathers teach their sons how to treat women, and they teach their daughters what to expect from a man.
Absolutely.
And they, when they look at it, if it was good enough for mama, then that's what I have to take. So if I was not as much of a communicator as I am, and I'm thankful for that, that was nothing but God that placed my ability to communicate and what I desire to have in life inside of me. But if I was not, I would bow to what I grew up in, thinking that it's okay for a man not to be present in the lives of my children or their father, my ex-husband, but still the father of my children. And they have never and will never hear me say something bad about him, anything negative about him. And I encourage them to always, even on his birthday, I send a mass text out reminding them, it's your dad's birthday. So I think we, at one point, there was a generation that numbed us to the presence of fathers, but we can regain that. We can take back our power in that.
Yes, ma'am. I appreciate that, Sabrina. Thanks so much for sharing that, because I think what you're doing, I do the same thing. I'm divorced, but I've always encouraged my children to have a relationship with their father. I don't badmouth them. I don't try to tear him down, because I think I grew up without a father, too. My father was always around, but he was raising another family. And I absolutely believe that has impacted me even to this day, with the choices I make in men, with feeling unworthy. So personally, at an anecdotal level, even though I said some statistics, I know I believe it really affected me, my father not being in the home with me. We have a better relationship these days. He's 82. I go see my dad, but he definitely had an impact on my life not being there. So thanks for sharing that, Sabrina. I think that's very insightful on you. We got a few more minutes before the break. Did anybody want to share their comments?
This is Darlene. I just wanted say, I grew up in a home with my father in a home, but my husband did not grow up in a home with his father in the home. And as we raise our children, they can see the difference. And it has become recently, our children are adults now, and they begin to inquire about the other side of their family. And it's more for medical reasons. And as the other sister was saying, you know, where her mom didn't, you know, talk about her father at all, didn't mention his name or anything. that I don't think any, well, I know there was much loss, much history, foundations that was lost because my girls did not know that side of my husband's family. But on the health side, that's what they're concerned about now. Not so much about building a relationship, but it's like, you know, as they're getting older, and it's like, you know, if we start having these health issues, is this something from that side of the family? And we don't know that because we don't know who that side of the family is, and not having my husband not having that relationship with his father and not knowing, you know, those things. And so, and I think that it not only impacts the children that don't have that don't have that father in the home, but it also impacts the next generation.
Yes, that is powerful. I hadn't even thought of it from that perspective of a health perspective, you know, not having a father around, not only not being in the home, but not even knowing, you know, that side of the family, or knowing, and in many instances too, I hate to say this, we women, we got to take our responsibility on this. Sometimes the children don't even know who the father is. So, but I think that's a great point, you know, health-wise, how important that is for children to know that, because health issues can come up. Did I hear James, or did I hear Doc wanting to chime in?
Yeah, I was going to chime in a little bit. This is James Sutt from J Square Financial Services. One of the things that we associate with fatherlessness is a tendency to think about the men, but from what I'm hearing, it has just as profound effect on women, and probably more so because women are put in a position to take on the role as men. And even though they have other men in their lives, as Chef Ron said, you know, God's going to put people there. It's something about not knowing. Now, I'm going to give y'all a real quick tidbit. You know, I'm divorced. I was married a couple of times in my life. I'm blessed now to have been with Jeanette over 23 years. But prior to that, I had another child was married before, got divorced, and their mom kept them away from me. And I was in the military, so every time I would come home and try to contact my daughter, she would go up north. When I was south, when she was south, would go north. And it wasn't until she was 16 years old that we finally connected. And at that time, she already had a baby. And so we talk now, and we contact each other now. But I blame me. I blame her mom, because I see the effects of how my daughters that was in a home with me act and behave around men, and how my daughter now has multiple kids with different people. So it does affect our children in more ways than we want to believe, especially our daughters.
Yes.
Oh,
great.
I wanted to say something. This is Precious. I wanted to say something real quick, and I was listening to James. I was just thinking about the woman role, right? Because we're talking about the fatherless kids, and I think that we have to, as women, have to remove that shame and have those hard conversations with our kids, and not in a disrespectful manner, but in a way that honors the dad, the person that they were able to sleep with. Because I think that because like Sabrina said, her mom didn't talk about it. That hole that was missing, she decided to fill it with her own ideas. But if she had just said that, you know, your daddy was a good man, but and just told him that he couldn't show up, there was something that you honored him, so that because in honoring him, it was honoring her, because that's still a piece, whether you want to accept it or not, that is a lifelong piece that you get. You get two pieces of two people. And so sometimes we got to stop being so prideful and own our stories enough to stop our kids from doing the same things that we've done. So that shame creates the generational curses, because we just don't want to honor the man that was good enough to make a baby with. No, he didn't show up, but you didn't do your homework, and so we still got to honor him, because that matters to the child that you, you know, created with him.
Okay, Ms. Precious, I appreciate that comment. We got like maybe a minute before our sponsor break. Can I get a quick comment maybe from Tasha? I know she probably has some thoughts on this. Ella Rose, Tasha, are you there?
Hey, this is Tasha with the Ella Rose Group. And Precious, I totally agree with you. My father, for me, my father was in the home, but I do agree that we have to own our stories. And like you said, we don't do our homework. And sometimes we have to face the reality of what the situation is. And I feel like sugarcoating things, sugarcoating relationships from children, once they get a certain age, it's harmful to them. So when they get a certain age, we have to be truthful in what the situation is. This is what happens. Dad and I, we weren't together for a long time. We created you, and this is the situation. But a situation doesn't have to dictate how your life is going to be. So we, because that means that a lot of different situations could dictate our lives. So we make the situation, we explain it, we talk to them like an adult. When they get to that point, then we let them know, hey, this is the situation, but we're not going to make this situation control our lives or control your life and what's next to come from it. So those are my
absolutely. Yeah, good stuff, Tasha. And then on that note, it is 7:30, and we're going to have a sponsor break. And Tasha, who just gave us that wonderful comment, is actually going to introduce our sponsor. So, Tasha, you have the floor, and you can introduce our sponsor.
Thank you so much. Again, thanks, everyone. This is Tasha with the Ella Rose Group, and I'm going to introduce our awesome sponsor for this evening. She is a retired Army Command Sergeant Major, and she also is a licensed counselor. Her name is Darlene Haygood, and she's the founder and CEO of Sisters Encouraging Sisters. Darlene, are you on?
I am. Good evening.
Good evening to you as well. We're really excited to have you on. Just wanted to have you introduce yourself and tell the panel a little bit about yourself.
Well, just to add to what you said, other than very excited to be a part of your panel on tonight and your discussion on tonight, I am the founder and CEO of Sisters Encouraging Sisters, a nonprofit organization. This May, we will be 15 years old, and we are headquarters here in Columbia, South Carolina, but we do have seven chapters across the U.S. We are in Texas, Virginia, Lansing, Kansas, here in South Carolina, in Greenville. And we are, our motto is, by my words and my deeds, I will lift my sister up. And I like to say to my brothers that we do not just lift our sisters up, but we also lift our brothers up as well. And I do have my master's in marriage and family counseling, but I also do coaching and mentoring in professional and individual development, professional and personal development. And just excited to be here with you all on this evening.
Well, awesome, and we're excited to have you. I know when you and I discussed, you one main thing that you focused on with Sisters Encouraging Sisters is my neighbor's clothes closet. Could you tell us a little bit more about that?
Oh, yes. An initiative that we have here in Columbia that I am very proud of in the work that we're doing here in the area. My Neighbor's Closet is a community clothes closet where we provide for free clothes, shoes, socks, underwear, personal hygiene items to those in need. It has nothing to do with your income, with your living status, your identity, none of that. The fact that you have a need for those items, you're able to be serviced by My Neighbor's Closet. We service college students. We service those that are going back into the workplace. We service those coming out of confinement, those that are in shelters, the homeless, again, those that are in need. We are a 501c3 organization, so we are supported 100% by donations And again, everything that we receive in is by donations, and everything that we give out is given out for free. No one is charged anything.
Awesome. I know we were discussing earlier, you were talking about the experience and what type of experience do you want the persons in need when they come in? What type of experience are you wanting them to have?
When individuals come into the clothes closet, I like to say when they come shopping, and when they come into the clothes closet, because we like to have everything up on hangers, we have the shoes up on shoe racks, we want them to have a shopping experience. And I like to say it doesn't matter if they came out of the wood lawn from Finley Park, or if they came from a college campus, or if they came from some business office downtown. When they come into the clothes closet, we want them to have a shopping experience just as they would have going into the mall, where they can come in and look through the racks to find the items that they're looking for. Because we receive items, anything from blue jeans and t-shirts to evening gowns and tuxedos. So it doesn't matter what someone may be looking for that business suit going back into the workplace, or that young lady's looking for prom gowns, a gentleman looking for a tuxedo, or that suit for Sunday. Easter is coming up. We have some beautiful children dresses that are beautiful for Easter, men's suit, women dresses, that we're really trying to encourage individuals, don't go spend the money that you don't have when there is something in the community that is there for you that you can get for free, and you can use those resources for something else, for gas, for groceries. Use the clothes closet as your rotating closet.
Awesome. Now tell us, how can we donate?
Well, and that's the very easy part. We are open on every Tuesday from 11 to 1, and on the first and third Saturday from 11 to 1. You can donate during those hours, or you're able to call 803-509-1833 and schedule a time for donations, because we know that everybody may not be able to come and donate at that time, and so we try and work with your schedule. And you can call and schedule a time to drop off your donations.
Awesome. And is the website sistersencouragingsisters.org? Maybe also contact you there as well?
Yes. You can reach us through our website, Sisters Encouraging Sisters. You can also reach us through our other social medias. We're on Facebook through Sisters Encouraging Sisters Ministries.org or Sisters Encouraging Sisters Columbia. When you go out there on Facebook, you'll see where all of our chapters out there, so you can look through the different chapters if you're in different locations and find the chapter near you. We're also on Twitter at Darlene_Haygood, and also on Instagram, Darlene_Haygood. And we also have a Facebook page for My Neighbor's Closet. And we are going to start posting pictures of some of the items that we have in the clothes closet with Easter coming up, because we really want to encourage people, because we know that that's one of the times that people go out and spend a lot of money to look cute on Easter Sunday. And we want to encourage them not to go out and spend that money, but to come into the clothes closet and get those items. We've been very instrumental in assisting the families that were impacted by the gas leak, the Allen Benedict court residents, that we have been very blessed to be able to assist them. We put the call out, and the response was great. So we've been able to assist them. All they have to do is call. Whatever items that they are in need of, we're able to provide those. If we do not have them, we put the call out to our community, and we're able to get those items for them.
I mean, that is awesome. I'm really excited. I definitely have some things that I need to purge and, you know, be able to donate to someone else who can use it instead of, you know, holding on to it, especially the things that I can't wear. So I would definitely be visiting you soon. And just one last thing, you're welcome. One last thing, if you were looking to expand, I know a lot of our guests or our panel, they're from different parts of the world, and wanted to, if you wanted to expand or you wanted to get into offering my clothes closet in their local areas, how can you do that?
To expand or to offering the same service in other areas, with our other chapters that we have, when someone comes and says that they want to start a local chapter of Sisters Encouraging Sisters in their area, because My Neighbor's Closet is an expansion under Sisters Encouraging Sisters, I first tell them to seek to say that this is something that they've been called to do, because it is ministry. And
Ms. Darlene? Ms. Darlene, I hate to interrupt you, but we got to stay on schedule. I think your organization is awesome. Can you give your number again so that anybody who's interested in at least calling you and maybe even expanding, like what the question you're about to answer, can you give a number where they can reach you? And I think that would be awesome. So anybody who's interested in expanding or wanting to know about more about your organization, that'd be great if you can give them a number where they can reach you.
Yes, and real quick, if to reach us, to find out more, if they can go to our website, sisters encouraging sisters.org, or contact us at 803-509-1833.
Thank you so much, and it's so great to have you on the call. And I'm sure with you being a therapist, marriage and family counseling therapist, that you may have some input. So I'd love to hear a comment from you, hopefully before the end of the call, when we get back into this discussion. But at this time, I want to introduce one of our panel members, Ms. Precious, and she's got some spoken word from her, for us. And I just want to say right quick before Precious comes on that she'll put some stuff on fire. Like, she really said some things that are very deep that really makes us really think, and I'm really excited. So do you guys just sit back and enjoy the ride. Precious, are you there?
Yes, I am. Thank you for that. I appreciate that. Okay. So today the poem I wrote is, Father, Can You Hear Me? To be fatherless means to grow up without the flesh of the man who is the reason you made it to this unpredictable land. There was nobody to tell you in a masculine way how to structure your life through the words he chose to say. Who do you become when half of you was missing, and who do you blame for that horrible decision? It's the pain of not feeling worthy or enough, growing up with abandonment, an experience so tough. I realize it's the expectations of who I thought you should be, which kept me stuck, longing to be free. Free of the idea that your absence was my shame, whether you came and you left or I never knew your name. This fatherlessness I'm feeling is because of the space you didn't fill, which have left so many areas in my life I long to get healed. What I had to learn was you not being there was not my crutch, and what I choose to do with this experience will be the people that I touch. So I will no longer allow who you couldn't be to dictate the future of who I decide to see. So instead, I'll just see you as the man who didn't know how to love, and I'll be grateful that in spite of it all, my Abba Father covered me from above. And that's a precious thought from the soul, and you can always reach any of my stuff at preciouscalling.com. Thank you.
Wow, Miss Precious, that was awesome. I don't know about nobody else, but I think that spoke directly to the topic that we're talking about tonight.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you, Precious. That was awesome. I so appreciate that. This is a topic that's near and dear to my heart. Fatherlessness, especially in the Black community, our kids need their fathers. So I want to jump back into the discussion, but I do want to read a little bit more some things that I came up, because I'm going to narrow it down for the last few minutes, not only just fatherlessness, but out of wedlock, because marriage is very important. I even go as far to say, even if the mother and father are together but aren't married, that can have an impact on the children too. So I read some things that talked about how in society, not being married, not having married parents. And when I talk about married, and I don't want to offend anybody, but I'm talking about a man and a woman. I hope nobody's offended by that, but that's where children are created, in those types of unions. So we're talking about children and fatherlessness. So I just wanted to clear that up, not to offend anybody, but just to be clear for the sake of this discussion. Okay? So there's a definite link between the availability of welfare and out-of-wedlock birth. There have been 13 major studies of the relationship between the availability of welfare, because in my personal opinion, I think that's where the root of the problem is. Out of these 11 studies, among the best of these studies, work done by June O'Neill for the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, holding constant a wide range of variables, including income, education, and urban versus suburban living. The study found that a 50% increase in the value of AFDC, and remember, I think that's aid to families with dependent children, and food stamp payments led to a 43% increase in the number of out-of-wedlock births. Likewise, research by Shelley Lundberg and Robert Plotnick of the University of Washington showed that an increase in welfare benefits of $200 per month per family increased the rate of out-of-wedlock births among teenagers by 150%. The same results can be seen from welfare systems in other countries. So the poverty that everybody complains about is a root cause of crime. The poverty is caused by fatherlessness, and fatherlessness is caused by welfare. Fatherlessness is also caused by laws and policies that make it easier for people to divorce, like no-fault divorce laws, et cetera, et cetera. So I just wanted to kind of narrow the discussion a little bit more to out-of-wedlock birth, because back in the 60s, Black children were born out of wedlock at a rate of about 20-22%. Recent data and statistics show that we're at a 70-plus percent out-of-wedlock birth, and you can see the direct correlation between the destruction of the Black family and the institution of welfare. There's a direct correlation. So I'd like to open up the panel for a few quick comments before we end the call. Did anybody wanted to comment on what I just talked about? And we got somebody who hasn't talked yet. I know Jazz is there, Kenyatta. I think Charles is there. Can we get some comments from you guys?
If they don't have any, I'm sorry, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. This is Tamara, JC Ladies Lounge. The wedlock comment, I think, too, sometimes, how can I say this? I think now, like, when I was brought up, like, I didn't see a lot of my family members married before having kids. And I think that's one of the problems that we don't see. I had my daughter out of wedlock, but I had my son while I was married. But even having that, sometimes I still think just because you're married doesn't mean that makes it for the child to, like, turn out better, even with the father not being in a home. You know what I'm saying? I think it's more
yes.
of what you teach your child. You know, you can teach your child, you know, before you have kids, You should be married. That's fine. Like, that's fine. You know, if that's your belief, if that's what you want to preach to your kids, that's fine. But at the same time, you can be married and have a child, but that marriage could be crazy. You know, so is it
yes.
that because you had a child while married, what makes it okay? But you in a home and a marriage and it's just so chaotic? You know, so it kind of,
yes,
it's one of those, oh, it's just so hard, like just as a mom, you know, as parents, it's just one of those hard decisions, like how do you want to raise your kids? Because, again,
mm-hmm,
you can walk around and brag and say, you know, I had my child while I was married, but that marriage cannot be good. You know what I'm saying? So I think,
yes,
it really just depends on what you install in your kids. And I believe it with Kenyatta, you know, tell your truth to your children. Tell your kids the story. You know, don't bash the other parent. And let them see as they grow up that, you know, yeah, my father wasn't in the home, but he was perfect. He's the perfect guy to me. Just because he wasn't in a home as a mother, as a husband and wife, you know, as a husband, but he's
right,
a good father. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
So,
yes,
kind of just because you're not maybe, you know, work out as a husband, don't mean that you're not a good father.
Right.
You know, so it's just one of those things that's just so hard. But as long as you tell your truth to your kids, don't bash the parent, and let them see and grow up and let them kind of, you know, get their own, you know, I guess, sight of how they, you know, the other parent is or the father. And
right, right.
My daughter, she has, you know, it was both. She doesn't have her biological father in her life, but she always had her stepdad in her life, like always, you know. And when we divorced, he even still stayed in her life, you know. So
yes,
she knows who her biological dad is, but her dad and her father is my ex-husband at the end of the day, you know what I'm saying? And I always gave him the credit because it's like you didn't have to step up to that plate and do that.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So, and at the same time, I still never bashed her biological father because she,
right,
grew up and seen on her own that he was the one that did not want to step up to the plate and be that father.
Right.
She seen that on her own. So it's like I had both sides of,
right,
know,
right.
As a mother, I had to deal with both sides.
Yes, ma'am. Those are some great points, too, Tamara. Thanks for chiming in and
hey,
sharing.
Hey,
this is Kenyatta.
Yeah, this is
go ahead, Kenyatta.
Oh, okay. Go ahead, Kenyatta. Go ahead.
Kenyatta, you know, do about a minute because I know we're getting close.
Okay,
and then
yeah,
Jazz will be next. So go ahead.
Real quick, I would just say that I understand what the Electric were saying just in general about, I think it was Precious speaking, just about, you know, having – of course, it's what you instill in them. And, of course, I had my son out of wedlock. I did eventually marry my child's father, but it wasn't for the way, I guess, because I'm in the new generation, the millennial. For me, it wasn't like, okay, I have to be married. And I do still have some family that's that way. But for me, it was more of making sure that my son had what he needed. I know a lot of people who have fathers in their lives, but their father is still absent. But just because they're married, you know, to someone else doesn't mean that they're an active role and parent in their lives. And I think some people find sometimes that because they're married, they feel like they got to stay. And I think that's the wrong thing to do because now we have our kids growing up in so much confusion inside of their home. And that's the last
right
thing you would want because now they're thinking that, oh, this is okay, whether it's a daughter or a son. They're thinking that
right
these things are okay, and that's how they're going to transition and roll that into their own lives when they have their own set of kids.
You're right.
And
right.
I believe it
dysfunction is bad for kids, too. Absolutely. I think you made some great points. Being married for the sake of being married ain't always the ideal because if the family is dysfunctional, that could be just as harmful to the kids as well. So those are some good points. And then, Jazz, you there?
Yes, I am. Okay, I'm sorry. I remuted you. Yes, I am here. And this is Jazz from JT Ladies Lounge as well. I was just listening to everything and, you know, just reflecting on some things that I had went through with my father not being in the home. But I had a father figure in the home, which was my mother's youngest brother. So I did grow up with a male in the home, but it wasn't my biological father. But he played the role, and still to this day he plays the role. Now, don't get me wrong. My father is somewhere around. and we talk, and we have a relationship too, but it's just not a mother. It's just not a daughter-father relationship. It's more like you're a relative that I'm aware of. But with my uncle, I call him, that's more like my dad because I call him with, you know, my issues, and we have that bond. But for my son, I was married, much like Tamara's story, I was married to his father, and the marriage was toxic, so he ended up moving on and basically moving out of state. So my current son that I'm carrying now, I'm not married to his father, but he's here in state, and he takes care of my son, myself, and about to be the baby that we're about to have. So I agree, like, a lot of people, you know, stress being married, but sometimes being married ain't the answer, because you can have a father that's in the home but not, he can be physically in the home but not mentally present in the home. And I've seen that so much, that women go through so much to keep their quote-unquote family together because they don't want to hurt the kids. But in all reality, the kids are growing up, and like Tamara said, like in chaos or just with a disconnected father who's no longer happy. So I think it's important to, you know, gauge your situation, and like everybody else was saying, just tell your children the truth, what's going on. You know, don't just stay in a relationship just to say I'm married and the father's in the home. You know, the kids still need love, and they can feel all that tension, because you can only hide so much. You can only lie so long.
Right. Hey, Queen, this is Jeanette. I just wanted to, you know, make a comment.
Hey, Ms. Sutton.
Hey, everybody. How are you doing? I just wanted to respond to the comment, and I thought the data, Kim, that you read earlier was really awakening. It was an eye-opener for me in regards to the wedlock, how it spiked up during a particular time. And the one thing I do know about data is that it's so black and white. You know, it is what it is, and you can't argue with the data. But the one thing I would like us to even to examine is that I'm praying that it was something else that was going on at that particular time that data was taken, because I would hope that just because you're getting $200 a month extra, that wouldn't give anyone, you know, or make anyone feel like that's a replacement for a man, or that's giving me the opportunity to have a baby, you know. So even though, you know, I know data is data and you can't, you know, it is what it is, but sometimes you got to look a little further in it to see exactly what's going on. But that's the data that we have. So, you know, but also too, one of the questions or one of the things I would like to, you know, to look at too, how do we combat it? You know, what can we do? You know, against the stereotypes about fatherlessness. You know, we have it's perpetuated through the media, and I'm not one to always blame media for everything. But, you know, to have, you know, non-baby mamas is cool. You know, that's the thing. So, I mean, you know, we have these stereotypes that's been perpetuated throughout our, you know, for the longest of time, you know, regarding fatherlessness. So how do we combat that? How do we, you know, in our communities, locally, what can we do to help?
That's
a great
question.
Jeanette, I want to say something.
Let me tell you what you had just said about when the statistics, you hope that stuff was going on, and you don't know if, you know, a woman would, you know, to get that extra $200 or, you know, to get that Section 8, you know, to not have that man in the house or to say the father's not around. Trust Jeanette, when I tell you that stuff is still going on, it is.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
yes, Tamara.
Wow.
Yes.
People not
willing
to put on that paperwork that the father live in the home with them, because they're going to lose their Section 8. They're going to lose their Medicaid. Mm-hmm. I know people that is married right now and still saying that the father's not around, but they're married. So when I tell you that stuff is serious, and the statistics are so high because women are still doing that because they don't want to pay a full rent or they don't want to lose their Medicaid, so now insurance is not coming out of their check. So, Jeanette, when I tell you that stuff is still going on, so them numbers are probably going to go higher and higher and higher and higher, because it's women out there that is doing this to this day, and I know some, and it's sad. And that's why I'm sorry, I'm going to say this real quick because I know we're going to an end, and that's why when Sabrina was talking, and I know I stated before, you know, woman empowerment is not just rah, 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 woman, woman. It's also to support the men, too, because sometimes these men are labeled father's not in the life, father's not available. you know, because it's the mothers that's putting this stuff down because they don't want to lose that extra $200. They don't want to lose that Section 8, or they mad because the father not moved on, so they want to say the father's not around. Now, this would be another hour show, so.
But that's right, good stuff, Tamara. Look, I know we're getting close to the end of the call, but I do just kind of want to wrap it up and make some of my final comments. Did anybody want to make a quick comment right quick and add to the discussion? Because I have, you know, some of my opinions that I love the discussion tonight. I love the input. Everything everybody said has some substance, some well thought out. Everybody brought personal experiences in it and stuff, and I just really appreciate the panel. Did anybody else want to make a quick comment before we wind down?
Queen, before you wind down, I just want to put a name out there for all of us to look up.
Who is this speaking?
I'm sorry, this is Sabrina. This is Sabrina.
Okay, Sabrina.
Everyone on the call, look up the name Big Jim. Our men were taught how to do what they're doing. Just look up the name Big Jim, and maybe we can talk about him another time.
Okay, good stuff. I'm definitely going to look it up. I've become more of an advocate for the men. And in the interest of full disclosure, I don't believe personally for me that it's good for the black family for the women to be leaving the men out. I believe, because when I look at these stats, I'm a big person on statistics, and who's being hurt is our children. So we as women, I'm speaking to women now when I say this, because I'm a woman, and I know I've been there. And my mother, God bless her soul, I know she didn't mean to do this, but she did say bad things about my father. And as a child, I internalized it. And it became, because I started to think, it was hard for me to have a relationship with God, because I started to think, if my father don't love me, how can my father in heaven love me? So we don't understand as women how powerful we are and how we affect our children. And especially, as Tamara said, I personally believe, in my opinion, that the welfare system was set up specifically to break up families and specifically to break up black families. That's just my own personal opinion. And I don't think welfare, and we won't even get to Planned Parenthood or another, are friends of the black community. Because if you think about it, right after slavery, the black family survived slavery. We survived Jim Crow. We survived so many things that, against all odds, we did. We were still together. We still believe in being in families, even though everything was done to tear us apart. And then when welfare comes and you're encouraged, the women are encouraged to have the men out of the home. I just personally believe that we gotta really take a look at ourselves first and look at what's really happening, and all of the other problems in the black community, I believe, can be rooted right back to fatherlessness. And ladies, I'm gonna leave you with this thought. As we're out here having kids and making families and stuff, it's a lot we can do even before the child get here. I acknowledge after the child is here, there's issues you may have to deal with, but we still have the decision of who we can make the father of our children. So before we start having them again, let's make sure, because we owe it to our children, and I believe we owe it to our community, to make sure that the person we're allowing, that we're picking for our children, is a person that you know is going to be, as much as you can know, of course, that's going to be the person that's going to be that father and that's going to be involved in your child's life. So having said that, I'm going to go on, and I think we got about 2 minutes. I'm going to turn the call back over to James. I appreciate this panel. I appreciate y'all input. I think it's a very healthy discussion. And and when I get the opportunity to talk again, I think we're going to continue it, because I think it's very important. James, if you're there, I'm going to turn the call back over to you. Thank you very much for allowing me to host.
Hey, amazing, amazing. Again, thanks, everybody, for chiming into the family circle. And that's what this platform is for. It's for us to discuss real issues, real conversations, and impart some real solutions. You know, we have to impart solutions. It's easy to have discussions, but we have to always look toward solutions. And the only way we can continue to combat this situation is to make it known. we have too many situations where we don't see the success of black family life. We don't see the success or the impact that having a father is there. You know, the one show that we had, the Cosby Show, where we had the good dad, they locked him up.
Come
know,
on.
Because of his actions.
Yeah.
So a lot of times we need just more role models. We need to have a bigger voice. So God bless everybody. Thank you very much for tuning in to the Family Circle. And we'll see you next week. Have a blessed day.